calling all sports fans. There's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do. That's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.
And welcome, everyone, to a special edition of The Late Shift. I am Rodney Fisher, joined by Royce Fisher, and we're coming to you guys live from Game 5. That's right. We are in Clutch City, as they call it, Houston, Texas, the home of the Houston Rockets, as we witnessing or watching the Houston Rockets with James Harden, with Dwight Howard, finally get past the first round and give an exit to the Dallas Mavericks, 4-1, and a big win for Houston tonight. The crowd was involved. We're going to talk a lot about that. Plus, we'll talk more about the NBA playoffs. We'll get into a little bit of the NFL draft. We'll talk about Mayweather-Pacquiao and also Josh Hamilton returning back to the Texas Rangers in our backyard as well, too. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. Without further ado, let me introduce my co-host, the guy that's riding shotgun with me, Mr. Royce Fisher.
How you doing, Rodney?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. We got a lot going on.
Absolutely. We just witnessed, like you said earlier, just witnessed the Houston Rockets move on to the second round and a depleted Dallas roster. They didn't have very much to get tonight.
Well, so much to talk about. I want to remind you guys that you can always follow us online at rfsportsradio.com or go to iTunes and download the show there as well. Do a search for RF Sports Radio or The Late Shift, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio. So let's jump right into what we just saw. We saw the Houston Rockets advance, the Mavericks lose, and, you know, from the get-go, the Rockets kind of had control of the entire game, although the Mavericks did hang around. They shot the ball. They didn't shoot the ball well at all. I mean, it was a terrible offensive performance for the Mavericks. You know, you had that game 3 and game 4 where the Mavericks put up a ton of points in the first half, couldn't do it tonight, and then when it came down to it, the only two guys that really they could count on was Dirk and Monte Ellis, and Monte Ellis was hurt the entire game.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, they missed a lot of shots. They got a rebound by the Houston Rockets. Dwight Howard had a great game, you know. And Dallas got a lot of players tonight. They were really short-handed. And all the pressure was on Dirk and Monte Ellis, and they came through. But not a lot of from the bench.
Yeah, and the Rockets really, you know, if you look at how this series kind of went, you know, me and you were talking about it on the way, kind of at right immediately after the game. You know, had it not been for some of the things that happened in the series, I mean, so much happened from Rondo in the first two games making mistakes, and the Mavericks losing going down 0-2, to coming back to Dallas and losing by 2 points after you put up 128 points, and then getting the win in game 4. You know, I really felt like the way this series started with the Rondo thing staying off. I mean, you know, when we go back, we'll talk a lot more about the Mavericks going forward throughout the offseason and even after we go to exit interviews tomorrow, but the whole Rondo thing kind of threw this entire series off to me. Even though the Mavericks fought hard tonight as best as they could, that right there set the tone for, you know, for failure for the Mavericks.
Absolutely. Nobody saw this coming, especially with Rondo. So the first game, I give that to the Rockets. Second game, he just absolutely quit on the team.
Yeah.
They got to take him out. You know, he's so low, he's with the organization. But a big disappointment, man, with Rondo. So you make the playoff. You know, he never thought about to make the playoff.
Yeah.
And you have to quit on the team, you know, and injuries for the Sustainers. Chandler Clark not being there for the whole series. David Harris was a little banged up. Another guard named Patrick Felton 1 year ago. Well, Dallas really played with 8 players tonight.
Yeah, actually, and most of the time they really play for less than that, you know. But, you know, for the Rockets, now that they advance, they'll face the winner of either the Spurs or the Clippers, and that's a, we'll talk about that series as well, a lot closer than I thought it would be. But, you know, even though the Mavericks were hurt like they were,
they made a game out of it.
So you have to kind of look at what the Rockets did now and say, okay, well, how good are they? You know, Dwight Howard came back for this series, had a great game tonight, had some pretty good play throughout the series. It felt like they were getting better. You know, James Harden, of course, the MVP candidate, great game tonight as well, too. Could get to the foul line anytime he wants. But, you know, you look at this team and how they struggled kind of in the last couple of games with the Mavericks. Can they do anything in the second round with either the Clippers or the Spurs, I guess, is the question you have to ask now.
Well, you know, Houston did play such a great game tonight. They didn't get a whole lot out of their bench either, but their bench on the Dallas series. But I wasn't really impressed with what I saw with Houston. You know, James Harden carried this team all year. Without James Harden, this team would have not made the playoffs. But I got to give a lot of credit to James Harden. He has carried this team all year. He carried it through the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, the two big shots he hit in the fourth quarter really separated him from Dallas. But out of those two shots, I've been talking about a Dallas
team. I think you're right. Overlook with James Harden and what he's done for the team throughout the season and in this first round of the playoffs. But I want to point at two players also, too. You know, if you look at the players that make up the other part of the roster, the guys coming off the bench for the Rockets, and I'm talking about like Jason Terry, who started for a lot of this series, and also Corey Brewer, you know, two ex-Mavericks.
Right. Right.
To me, they were the key in this series, and they'll be the key for them going forward because Terry, you know, although he's an older player, he's not as fast as Patrick Beverly, but he is that veteran kind of leadership, a veteran guy that's been in the trenches and knows what it takes to win, has the mindset to win, can draw the foul when he needs to draw a foul, hit the three-pointer when he needs to, and play defense. And Corey Brewer just, a lot of times, play like a man possessed. He's up playing defense. He's running back down the court on fast breaks. I bet he had more fast break points than any player in the series. And those two guys, to me, are going to be huge and critical for them going forward.
And you're absolutely right. I was very pleased. He's a high-energy guy. But we can't forget Dallas. He had a great series.
True.
Nobody had an answer for him. Game three, I mean, he was the man. He was a man for this. And, I mean, he was a dunk fest for him. He just played. Nobody was able to guard him in Dallas. So Josh Smith made a big difference.
But you also saw with Josh Smith, it was kind of like gift and curse. You saw him really shine in a lot of places when he hit those three-pointers in a row. I mean, that was amazing. You know, when he started throwing the lobs to Dwight Howard in game three, that was amazing as well. And he had great play. But you also saw the other side of Josh Smith, too. You know, the ticky-tack fouls and arguing with referees and getting in players' faces. And that's the other part of Josh Smith you have to deal with as well, too. So, and going forward in the playoffs, it's not going to get any easier. The play's going to get more physical. People are going to be poking and prodding at you even more. So, you have to be able to, as you're Josh Smith, you got to be able to play. You got to stay in the game. And you know, who knows? If he's able to do it, great for him. It's just chance to really prove that he could take this stuff out of his head and just play basketball, but to me, that still remains to be seen.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned officiating because that was a big topic a few games ago. Great call out. I tell you what, I saw a lot of, this was a real physical game, like you stated earlier. There's a lot of ticky-tack fouls. Last game was 52 fouls, 5 ticks. But then, you know, these two teams don't like each other. But, that could cost Houston in the next round, especially if they both get the team like San Antonio or the Clippers. So they're both physical teams. And I may see who's out of that series. And if Houston can keep this momentum going, then they got out of the guy they did in the Dallas series.
Again, talk a little bit about the Houston Rockets. They advanced. We just got through watching the game and seeing how the city reacted as well, too. I want to talk a little bit about Coach Kevin McHale. You know, there's a to me, there's a lot of question marks about how great of a coach he is. You know, I think if you're Dwight Howard and you got Kevin McHale, one of the greatest big men ever to play the NBA, you got Akeem Olajuwon working with you, you think that that'd be the recipe for a team that can make it to the finals and win a championship because, I mean, Dwight Howard could be a dominant player again. There aren't that many dominant centers in the Western Conference or even in the league for that matter. But, you know, I felt in this series, what I wanted to see is could Kevin McHale match up with Rick Carlisle. I thought for sure Rick Carlisle would outcoach him. But with the injuries that the Mavericks had, I don't feel like McHale had to really make adjustments and really coach because the Mavericks roster changed so much throughout the series. He didn't have to really do much in terms of game planning or making adjustments. And so I think that's a big question mark going forward, too.
Well, yes, you're right. I have to give Carlisle credit. What he had to work with, he actually did a great job by taking the meeting at J.J. Barrett's lineup. Really kind of threw Houston off for a while because I don't think they prepared for those two guys to be starting. I just hated taking so long to put that in the starting lineup. He just did that game, too. And, like I said, we said that the meeting roster, he didn't have a whole lot to work with, you know. But I thought Carlisle did a great job, and he changed the lineup. They could have easily won tonight. I think Dirk, Monte, and the other guys played so many minutes. By the time they got to the end of the fourth quarter, they didn't have a whole lot left to take. I think he got over Dallas in that fourth quarter.
Roger, how did you view McHale and his coaching and what he did?
Well, McHale didn't have to do much because all McHale has to do is put his fortune out there. That's what James Harden. James Harden actually runs that team. He basically just substituted. And Dwight Howard played an okay series, but Jonathan challenged him. Well, he's not the first option for you. So James Harden is the first option. He goes and he goes. Dwight Howard did a great job of cleaning up the Bulls and rebounding. And like I said, you always got that option for things bad. And I always tell a lot about Dwight Howard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Mavericks lose, and we'll talk a lot about their offseason. I mean, there'll be a big topic of discussion for quite some time. They got 11 potential free agents, depending on if guys opt in or decide to test the free agent market. So they got a lot of work to do, and injuries and surgery, and Chandler Parsons may be out for almost 8 months. And a lot of things going on with the Mavericks. We got a lot to talk about with that, but let's jump into a couple other NBA playoff series, and I want to talk a little bit about the Bucks and the Bulls. You know, the Bulls are my pick to win the Eastern Conference when the season started, and they're still my pick to win the Eastern Conference. But I'm very surprised about not being able to put away the Bucks in a sweep of four games, and then to lose Game 5 at home, team that's got nothing to lose. Jason Kidd's got these young players that are really just playing above and beyond what I thought they could do against the Bulls because they're totally outmatched. There's more talent on the Bulls roster. I just can't figure out why the Bulls can't put this team away and what does that say about a team that should be considered one of the top contenders to win it all.
Well, I think injuries have played Chicago all year. Really, this is the first time you had a complete group to play together. And unfortunately, he's doing a series against a young Bucks team that I am very impressed with. For them to grab two games, the tie series up 2-2, very impressed. Like they just did a great job. These guys have nothing to lose. They're laying everything out. All the losing them, I'm so impressed. And you know what? For them to hang with Chicago is a big deal. Chicago was not my biggest thing to eat. I know that was your pick. But, I knew Chicago was in trouble with the injuries they had all year. Joe Keith Owens got the same guy. Derrick Rose has been hurt.
Played well, though. He's played well.
Played well.
Had a great game in Game 4.
These guys have been together long enough to jail like they did last. I think last year was their best chance to go to the NBA Finals.
Without Derrick Rose?
Without Derrick Rose. Everybody stepped up. So I don't see anybody stepping up like they did last year. I think they're depending on Derrick Rose to carry them through to the next round. But I think he's just not getting his name back. I do expect them to win the series, but I don't expect it to go to the NBA Finals.
I expect them to win the series, and I expect them to go to the finals. I really do. I think Derrick Rose is getting better. I think the team is, you know, I think what you said is very valid. I mean, they haven't played a lot of games with a full roster, with a full squad, and I think they're getting better. I think this Bucks team is just tough, man. I mean, again, we don't have anything to lose when you're not expected to win. You're not expected to even push it to a game six. You know, you play with a type of reckless abandon that a team like the Bulls is not going to have. And I think having Jason Kidd, you know, to me, and I think we talked about this before in the last show, but I don't know why Kidd's not being considered as a top contender for Coach of the Year. I know they gave it to Mike Budenholzer of the Hawks, but Kidd's done a miraculous job. I mean, we're talking about a team that was at the bottom of the league last year. They had
and
lost their blue chip player, Jabari Parker, and yet they pull off the trade for Michael Carter Williams. I don't know how they pulled that off. And now they got a team that's won two games, is pushing for a game six at home against the Chicago Bulls.
Well, you know, I do believe now that they believe that they win these series the way they've been playing. And, you know, once you get them confidence, and you beat a team like Chicago, I mean, you start to believe you're the best that you can win it, too. And how ironic would that be to see Chicago go down to these Milwaukee Bucks?
I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm sure that for them and Boston, that they're two teams to be reckoned with next year.
To me, since I'm riding the Bulls all the way to the finals, to me, I'm kind of looking at it as glass half full. I'm thinking, but maybe this is the best-case scenario. You know, you play a tough team that helps you kind of get better and get on your toes and pushes you a little bit. And then, you know, you got the Cavaliers waiting for the next round, and you're kind of ready to go and take them out. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at a glass half full, but that'll be a big game tomorrow. I mean, I'll be tuned in. I'll be watching that for sure because I'm very, very interested in this Bucks team and what they've been able to do, but also – more so interested in watching the Bulls step on their throat. To me, the Bulls have to win game six. They have to win the game six. They have to prove.
They want to go game seven.
Right. They got to show everybody that, you know what, we have got that killer instinct. We can step on their throat. We can get them out of here. We've got to win game six. Got to win game six.
If they don't, go seven. Like I said, Milwaukee is definitely the move. I think Jason Kidd has done an excellent job for coaching these guys and preparing that Buzz series. That is the guy in the middle of the playoff series.
No.
And they play in the way they play like they've been there before.
Right.
And that's going to give great confidence in the ball next year. He keeps the same squad together. And I tell you what, I like this Buzz team. I've just so
long. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. Yeah, we talked about, I mentioned Mike Budenholzer. So the Hawks now and the Nets are tied 2-2, you know. And again, the playoffs doesn't start. Playoff series doesn't start until you win on the other team's floor. And neither team has been able to do that yet. Now it's 2-2. They're tied up with the Hawks, who ran away with the Eastern Conference. The number one seed playing a team that got in on the last day, a 38-win team. And the Hawks, have they been exposed? Are we to believe that they're not as good as their record says they are?
No, that's the most surprising team to me so far. Their record is where they played all year. I had a chance to see them fight. And these guys were fantastic for the second season. But they haven't struggled with it. And what would surprise me out of everybody in the playoffs, the more they even make the playoffs, number two, the play is good there. But, you know, they've always been a tough team. And the biggest surprise was then the Darren Williams showed up.
Yeah, finally.
We finally got the Darren Williams. He had a great game today. I forgot how many points he had. But we know he's a good player. For a while, there's something happened. You know, the same with Jason Kidd was there. I don't know what happened to him. He got booked up as a great player. Joe Johnson is playing great. And like I said, they are surprised. They're just happy to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like they have nothing to lose either. And I watched the end of that game after they won, and the owner, Jeremy guy, what's the name?
Donor for you mean the Russian guy?
Russian guy.
Prokop.
He was out there for the NBA Finals.
Well, again, that
they had to be happy about that.
They got nothing to lose, like I mentioned, you know.
But they are a good team.
Right.
The record doesn't show that much. But Darren Williams showing up, the fans way he played.
The
guy called it terrible last game. He's like 1 for 5, 3-point shoot. But I think Atlanta will get it together. And let's see the Atlanta will start the record.
It's interesting, man. It's just very, very interesting. You know, and at first I said, you know, I'm not even going to watch the series. No sense
right.
in watching it because, you know, the Hawks have crushed the Nets. And this has become one of the most competitive series of all of them. The only one that's tied 2-2 at this point outside of the Spurs and Clippers. So let's stay in the Eastern Conference a little bit. Again, you're listening to The Late Shift with Rodney Fisher and Royce Fisher. Make sure you follow us online at rfsportsradio.com. Check us out on iTunes at The Late Shift or at RF Sports Radio. Follow us at RF Sports Radio. Staying on the Eastern Conference, the big story that a lot of people are talking about is, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who swept the Boston Celtics, but a very, very ugly game 4 in Boston that saw plenty of technical fouls, that saw guys get pushed in the face, guys get hit in the face, and guys get their shoulders dislocated as well. So the Cavaliers emerged from a sweep with Kevin Love out for the rest of the playoffs, at least that's what the GM wants us to believe, with a dislocated shoulder. They also get out of the series with Kendrick Perkins with a suspension for a game and with J.R. Smith with a 2-game suspension, after he basically knocked out Jay Crowder, who injured his knee at the same time. And so now the Cavaliers have to move forward and face a team like the Bulls with a very, very different roster than what they had when they were beating teams at the end of the season. So I want to get your thoughts a little bit on, first of all, the game itself, that game 4, and how did it get out of hand, and from your perspective, what could have been done differently if something should have been done differently.
Well, first off, let me give a shout out to Boston, man. I thought they played great. There's a lot of potential on that team. We talked about one of the ex Mavericks guys. Of course, I gave his name to be Jay Crowder. I thought he was playing great until he got hurt. But the thing is, JR finally figured it out again. We knew what type of play.
2 years to the day,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we knew what type of play it was. The things were going real good in Cleveland. And he had to go, and that's the best setup. That's typical JR. We saw the same thing for them. New York and Kevin Love. I'm interested to see what do the Cavs do now. Who's going to step up these two guys out? Two key pieces of their offense. Out Kevin Love. So everybody talks about him fitting in. But you don't have to worry about that now. But who do you put in his place? JR playing great, and he's always a threat. So now it's on LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. You talked earlier, we talked last game, we talked about Kyrie Irving not being 5-time ready for the playoffs.
Yeah.
But this is my thought. I think Kyrie Irving is going to shine in the playoffs. It's on him and LeBron to carry this team now. I'm interested to see what they do.
I think about
LeBron.
I think this is a recipe for disaster for the Cavs. I mean, you got to go against a Bulls team that's pretty good at point guard. It's even better down low. You don't have Kevin Love, who is your best rebounder. Tristan Thompson is okay, but he's not Kevin Love. I can't see Tristan Thompson grabbing 10 boards a night, you know, when he's got to deal with Paul Gasol and deal with Taj Gibson and deal with Joakim Noah. So that's the biggest thing for me. I just don't see how you can match up with a team like the Bulls with that's so big down low.
I will give the Bulls this. They do have a championship a bench.
Yes.
James Jones, Mike Miller.
James Jones and Mike Miller not giving you nothing. They're not giving you nothing.
Big Pocket, keep a big adjustment. But I'm not a believer. I thought last year was the best chance to make the playoffs.
Well,
everything that went on with the team.
That's what derailed them.
Them gelling together.
But you got to
come together, stand together as a team. I thought last year was in the perfect time.
But if you remember, it was last year during the playoffs when the whole Donald Sterling thing came to a head. It's hard to concentrate when you don't know. When you're working for a guy that's a racist. I mean, it's hard to overcome that, and they got as far as they under the circumstance. They didn't know what was going on.
They were unified as a team. They made a statement as a team. I thought if they won, they would have made a big statement despite the owner. You know, we who we are. But like I said, I don't believe in a simple team. Maybe they're tied. San Antonio, I do believe. It's their last go-round to make the championship. You can never count San Antonio out. They probably make judgment. It's going to be a great
But again, going back to your point, you cannot say that Donald Sterling was not a distraction last year during the playoffs. It's a huge distraction.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a distraction. You know, they made a statement. They played despite what was going on. And you know, the amount of time that Donald Sterling will be removed. That's all they talked about.
Yeah, it was a great unknown at the time. There was a lot going on. It was more distraction than – to me, it was more of a distraction than what it did to bring the team together. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Big, major distraction. So, more to come on that as well, too. Let's jump and switch gears a little bit because coming up on Thursday, it is the NFL draft, at least the first round of the NFL draft. That's coming up then. And I guess everybody kind of knows it's going to be either – It's going to be either Jameis Winston or it's either going to be Marcus Mariota's number one pick. I think a lot of people feel like Jameis Winston will be the Tampa Bay's next quarterback. You've got a lot of different stuff going out in the media now for different teams, and everyone's kind of feeling things around because we know it's going to be trades and everything else as well, too. So I want to get your opinion, Royce, on the two quarterbacks, the big debate. You know, if you were Tampa Bay, they had to make a decision. Would you go with Jameis Winston or would you go with Marcus Mariota?
Well, number one, I don't put a whole lot in who was going to ride. You really don't know what's going to happen until the actual draft day. They actually make this decision. I would take Jameis Winston for Mariota. So I would Tampa Bay. Because I think you give them a he's a great quarterback. He's used to the but I don't put a whole lot of stuff in rumors because we have the quarterback sit through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And these guys are not even going, I think, for that reason, because I'm a hype about him going first. But we could be surprised. Quarterback.
But Marcus Mariota's not going to fall low in the draft. That's not going
to
happen.
Well, you have to take two best players. They are the two best quarterbacks coming out of the draft.
Right.
We know these two teams, these quarterbacks, there's no problem. But there are going to be some surprises.
Yeah, they're going to be surprised, but I don't think. Mariota and Winston, they're not going to fall fast.
They're going to go 1 and 10.
I mean,
they're going to go 1 and 2.
They'll probably go 1 and 2. I'm with you on that. But if I was Tampa Bay, I'm not taking Jameis Winston first. I'm taking Marcus Mariota first, only because I cannot trust Jameis Winston. You know how when you see a guy talk, you know whether a guy's trying to. You always feel like the guy's trying to sell you something, whether it be an idea or something. I get that same feeling when I hear Jameis Winston talk. The other thing is, you know, if you can't trust the guy off the field, how can you trust him to be the face of your franchise, the quarterback in the huddle? How can you trust him if you can't trust him off the field?
That doesn't even matter.
They're
going to take player favorably in the draft. They feel like they can straighten anybody out. We've seen guys done a lot worse going to draft.
Yes, but we're talking about quarterback. We're not talking about defensive linemen. We're not talking about offensive linemen.
He has that come from behind is the favorite part of the game. The game is never in over for him just 0-0 on the track. You always have a chance to win. You have a guy can run. He's a pocket passer. Makes great decision in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he throws a lot of interceptions. He's done a lot of interceptions, more so than Mariota has.
I'm just not so concerned about athletic ability. I think James Cook has more athletic ability.
Okay, but why would you think you don't think that Mariota's a better? Mariota's faster. Mariota can throw it better. I mean, everything points towards him. I just can't trust.
So you saying Mariota's going over James Cook?
I think he should. I'm saying I think he should. I think he's Tampa Bay.
What the experts are saying.
Well, I'm just telling you. I'm taking Marcus Mariota over James Winston because I just can't trust Jameis Winston. I can't do it. For whatever reason, I can't trust him.
A couple of days, we would know going up the morning. It's the base. I don't know what Tampa Bay plans, but they had a chance to interview these guys. They don't go about it like we do. I'm pretty sure they've done all kinds of background things. But a lot of teams will ignore certain things about a talent there.
A quarterback. So we're talking about a quarterback.
We're talking about any player.
Well, we're just saying, we're talking about a quarterback. Again.
Dez Bryant. Now, let's be finished. Dez Bryant has the package.
Yeah.
That just stopped Dallas from taking it.
But he's a wide receiver. Had he been a quarterback, you think they would have taken him?
They found a team with a ticket.
No. Quarterbacks with baggage do not translate in the NFL. They just don't.
Okay, look at Cleveland.
But it exactly.
Right.
What did Manziel give them last year? Nothing?
But
nothing.
Manziel, everybody felt like he should have went top in the draft. Despite his drinking,
but he
despite
did.
His he went high in the draft.
He went first round,
right?
But it took a text to a DM to get that done. It wasn't like people were trying to move up and down to grab Johnny Manziel. That wasn't the case.
Yeah, but people talk. They didn't talk about his off the field stuff.
Yeah, they did.
They talked about him being in the spotlight.
Right.
That is stuff Cleveland from picking him.
And look what happened. Look what happened. He didn't do well. He didn't start the year for you. Didn't play half the year for you. Went to rehab in the offseason.
Well, we got a guy in the draft now that couldn't even make it to Saturday without his feeling a drug test.
I know, but again, he's not. I'm just saying there's a difference.
They still say he was going to draft because of his talent.
Yeah. Right. I'm not saying he don't deserve to be drafted. I'm just saying
I think I've seen it happen. If the guy does have the package, now we're talking about young, we can take him in, straighten him out.
But we're talking again.
If he has the talent, they want the best player on the field in any given day.
But don't you think the quarterback should be held at a higher standard than your average football player. Okay, that's all what I'm saying.
But how many times do you get a chance to get a great quarterback?
Well, you got a chance.
Right. James Winston, he's the best, one of the best quarterbacks come out of the draft.
The time will tell, but I just don't think that's
Let's
a good
thing. Let's put
a hamburger wage on that. Like, if you want to get in, on the hamburger wager, send me a tweet at RF Sports Radio.
Double P, big. Double P.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
And
how are we going to define? Okay, well, that's the parameters. How are we going to define who is better? We're going to look at a 3-year period, a 1-year period.
Say who's taking first in the draft. That's what we're arguing about.
Oh, no. I'm not. I think Tampa Bay will make the mistake and take them. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if I was Tampa Bay,
he wouldn't go for number one.
No, I said if I was drafted for Tampa Bay.
So what are we betting?
Well, I'm betting that Marcus Mariota will have a better career than Jameis Winston would. I just feel that he's gonna be better. Now, a lot of factors come into play But I just think that as far as a passer and a quarterback, I think he's a better.
I have to wait 3 years to get my hamburger?
Yeah, we gotta wait 3 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you gotta wait 3 years.
Oh, no.
You gotta wait 3 years. You gotta get a team down to build.
He's gonna be eating hamburgers 3 years from now.
Yeah,
they gave my dad goes number one.
No, because I do think Jameis Winston will go number one. Don't get me wrong. I think he will.
You think that's a bad thing?
I think they're making a mistake. I think they really are. Now, there's other talk about what should the number two pick do. The Tennessee Titans have the number two pick. Some talk about them possibly trading their pick to San Diego for Phillip Rivers trade, which would give San Diego the number two pick. If you're Tennessee, Royce, do you trade for Phillip Rivers or do you go ahead and draft Mariota?
Well, Phillip Rivers does give you a chance right now, but I don't think they have enough yet to win games. I think he finished out his career in San Diego. Actually, he gets San Diego in the playoffs every year, or close to the playoffs. And they couldn't win without Phillip Rivers. He is facing the franchise.
But at some point, you got to move on. You know, you're getting the number two pick, getting a young quarterback, somebody you can build around. You're getting ready to move it to a new stadium. You're moving to L.A. Hey, I mean, it's pretty attractive. If you're Tennessee, you want a proven quarterback, you know.
Yeah, but Tennessee's going to be better today.
But we'll see. We're going to find out.
San Diego wants to win that.
We're going to find out.
Phillip Rivers, yes, has the best chance of ever making it back to the playoffs.
There's
many better players around him. Yeah, no running game. Tell me your case was hurt.
We're going to find out Thursday.
Look at him in the stadium.
Well, the new stadium is going to be in L.A., so you may need to sell tickets to a new fan base for a younger quarterback. Now's the time, if you're going to do it, to bring them in, I think, to try to get that going. All right, before we get out of here again, I want to remind you guys to follow us online at rfsportsradio.com. Please go download us on iTunes. Go to the website as well, too, because you're going to hear more than just our show. You'll hear shows from across the country. All kinds of sports podcasters, with broadcasters, writers, anything you can think of is going to be on there. I want to close out the show talking a little bit about a story that's a little bit closer to home for us, being our home base is in Dallas, and that's the return of Hambone, the return of Josh Hamilton coming back to the Texas Rangers. I thought I'd never see the day this would happen, but based on things that happened in the offseason with him going to rehab and tumultuous relationship with the Los Angeles Angels. He is now back at Texas Ranger. The Rangers only paying about salary. The Angels are paying about 18 million, so they're getting a good deal. But you're talking about a guy that really, really wore himself very, very thin with the Rangers. So
I'm just shaking my head about that. Traders, they're bringing it back. Can you trust the guy? That's number one.
Well, I think the first question we got to answer is why did they bring him back?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I heard that they know how to deal with them. But can you just the drug addict?
Well, it doesn't answer the question. Why? So even if they say they know how to deal with them, well, are you that desperate this early in the season?
They are desperate.
But what are you desperate for? Are you desperate for wins or are you desperate for fans? Are you desperate for attendance? What are you desperate for?
I think a little bit of both. They lost your daughter, Shirley, in the year. The hitting has been there. I don't know why they bring it back. I'm still shaking my head about that. I just don't trust the guy.
No, of course.
I don't trust that.
But you didn't trust him when he was there either. So that didn't change. Your trust
didn't change. I'm still shaking my head trying to figure out why they did that. Maybe they will still at the ballpark.
Well, I just don't understand. I don't see fans coming out in droves.
Oh, there's nothing here, Dallas.
Yeah, but all the comments he made about this is not a baseball town.
Talking about
the fans and the way he left. And I just don't see fans coming out in droves to boost attendance because Josh Hamilton's here. And we don't know when he's going to be able to play. He ain't ready to play yet.
And you know what? I'm all coming back to the Mets. That's why I feel about this whole thing.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's serious. It's like, we know what Odom's kid was in Dallas. To me, it's like Lamar Odom coming back to the I can't believe he's taking lane.
The other thing I thought about, too, when I heard he was coming back, I All right, guys, and welcome back. Sorry about the technical difficulty. We were speaking real quick about Josh Hamilton, and I was making the point that, you know, when I saw that he was coming back, the first thing I thought about was, hey, if he can come back, well, guess who else can come back, too? What's that? Run Washington. Hey, if you will go ahead and forgive, Josh Hamilton, bring him back. How come you can't forget Ron Washington, bring him back?
Too? I still don't know why he left.
Well, no one knows.
But I agree with you. If you can bring Josh back, bring
back Ron Washington. Yeah, you can bring back Ron Washington. So there's hope left after all for bringing back Ron. So if you can bring Josh back. But I'm be interested to see how the fans react. He says that as long as it's not, they don't boo him as bad as they did when he first came back, I think he said he'd be fine. But I'm interested to see what the reaction would be. Do you think they'll boo him, Ross? Do you think they'll welcome him back?
I think they would. They'd be glad to have Ron back.
I'm talking about Josh when he gets to the first day back.
I think he's going to be split. Knowing Ranger fans, as desperate as they are, I think they'll cheer him back. And listen, He better do something when he comes back.
I don't know what he's gonna do.
And he better stay clean. That's for sure.
Well, that's because an everyday struggle.
He has more chances than anybody.
You know, he's coming back. He's divorced now. He is getting some of his support system back. The church he went to, First Baptist, wife was here, and some other things. But at the same time, it's still Josh Hamilton. So we're going to find out a lot more about that. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to the show. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll be back with another show. We'll get ready for more NFL draft talk, find out what's going on with some of the teams. We'll talk specifically about the Cowboys as well. We'll talk about the Mavericks and see what they're going to be doing after we go to some exit interviews. So make sure you tune in tomorrow night. For myself, Rodney Fisher, and Royce Fisher, thank you guys for listening to rfsportsradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @RF Sports Radio. Until next time, guys, we will see you soon.